pastor and author Dr. Michael Youssef, beginning this episode of Leading the Way Audio.
How can you experience cure for the crushing loneliness of sorrow? Several things I want to share with you. First of all, always remind yourself that God loves you. You could never do that enough. Believers who love the Lord Jesus Christ must always remind themselves and others that we are the object of His love.
Most people have experienced a season in life when sorrow takes them to a place of loneliness and despair, a place where it feels like the world is collapsing. Thank you for listening to Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef and a practical message from his series, The Cure for Loneliness. To allow just as much time as possible with Dr. Youssef, let's listen now as he begins.
We saw the loneliness of sin as it's experienced in Cain's life. We saw the loneliness of suffering as it was in Job's life. We saw the loneliness of service as it is in Moses' life. Then we saw the loneliness of self-pity as it was in Elijah's life. So today, we're going to look at the last two of the six, that is the loneliness of sorrow and the loneliness of stubbornness. I want you to turn with me, please, to John chapter 11. The loneliness of sorrow. The Bible tells us about a family that is consisted of three siblings. Obviously, the parents have died, but those three adult siblings, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, they loved the Lord Jesus. And they exercise hospitality, not just to the Lord Jesus alone, but also to the disciples. And one day, Lazarus, the younger brother, obviously, become seriously ill. And the two sisters send a word to Jesus, hoping that he would come and heal him. Jesus was known for healing the sick. So they said, well, he can come and heal Lazarus. But Jesus did not come right away to heal Lazarus. As we saw in the last message, God, the Lord, always, always, always shows up. Not in the way we expect Him, not in the way we wanted, but He always shows up. And so He shows up 4 days after Lazarus died and was buried. But before raising Lazarus from the dead, we see our Lord Jesus Christ so tenderly and lovingly comforts Martha and Mary as they shared their grief and sorrow with Him. Martha is what we call in our modern day, she was the alpha sister. She's the alpha sibling. She never let grass grow under her feet. So as soon as she heard that Jesus is on His way, she leaves the mourners in the house and she runs into streets and to meet Him on the road. When Jesus came into the house, and He saw Mary and the others are weeping bitterly, Jesus also wept. Verse 35. Jesus wept. When you read the scripture, and if you read it systematically like I do, and I see a lot of weeping in the Bible. A lot of weeping throughout the scripture. And I believe with all my heart that God made us with tear ducts so that we can weep. Because weeping helps us heal on the inside. And the Word of God promises us in Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may remain for the night, but joy comes when?
In the morning.
Question, how can you experience cure for the crushing loneliness of sorrow? Several things I want to share with you that I know they come from the Word of God, and I know that I've experienced them myself. First of all, always, 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 always remind yourself that God loves you. You could never do that enough. Believers who love the Lord Jesus Christ must always remind themselves and others that we are the object of His love. Even if at times, listen carefully please, even if at times that we, like Mary and Martha's situation, we question His love. Remind yourself that you are the object of His love.
Amen.
God proved his love for us. What else could he do? That God is sovereign and he will accomplish all things according to the counsel of his will. Even the non-believing neighbors who were mourning in the house of Mary and Martha, when they saw Jesus weep in verse 35, they said, verse 36, see how he loved him. Oh, beloved, the Word of God assures us in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword, which is death? Verse 37, no! In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Him who what?
Loved us.
Him who what?
Loved.
He loved us. In times of crushing loneliness of sorrow, you must never, 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 never forget that Christ not only loves you with an everlasting love, but he's with you in the time of sorrow. He is with you. Believers of today have a huge advantage over Mary and Martha. You know what it is? We have the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. This the Holy Spirit had not been given yet because it came in the day of Pentecost after our Lord was ascended. Jesus knows all about the loneliness of sorrow, and he promised to heal the broken hearts and bind the wounds. Oh, he doesn't only know your sorrow, but he shares your sorrow. The Word of God tells us that Jesus, even 700 years before he came to earth, before his earthly life, in Isaiah 53:3, described him as the man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Jesus does not only know your sorrow, Jesus does not only share your sorrow, but Jesus also transforms your sorrow.
Amen.
Look at verses 25 and 26. He said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Listen to me. When believers die, painful and excruciating as it is for the living, but they are more alive than they've ever lived before. In the times of the crushing loneliness of sorrow, we are comforted, not just because we know that God loves us, not just because we know that God is with us, not just because we know that he shares our sorrow, not just because we know that he can transform our sorrows, but also because we know that his will is the best for us. Here, in this case of Lazarus, here we are 2,000 years later, and we're comforted and we're encouraged by Jesus raising him from the dead. Not only that faith of Mary and Martha was strengthened, not only that the faith of the disciples was strengthened, but many came to believe in Jesus. Probably if he came and he healed him, maybe few people would have known about it. But at this situation, in the will of God and the way it was done so perfectly, many people came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, I also have to confess that there are times of suffering and sorrow when I do not comprehend God's purpose in it. But you know what? I have grown to trust him. I've grown to trust. Thank God for a time of sanctification. Sanctification is a process. Salvation is instant, but sanctification takes a lifetime. And as I grow in my sanctification, I grew to trust him. Even in the things that don't make sense, even in the things that I don't understand, I grew to trust him. Oh, beloved, listen to me. When you are experiencing the loneliness of sorrow, God will be glorified in it. If you believe, if you believe. In our flesh, we often think that the most important thing in life is our comfort. No! The most important thing in life for the believer is for God to be glorified in us. Think about the words of Jesus. He is going to a bloody, painful, excruciating, beyond description cross. And in John 12:23, what did Jesus say? The hour has come for the Son of Man to really suffer on that cross and be humiliated and to shed his blood. No! Do you know what he said? The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. This is to be crucified, which is would be true, but he said to be glorified because he sees beyond the cross to the glory of God. Well, so much for the loneliness of sorrow. What about that loneliness of stubbornness that not many of you are looking forward to? Turn with me, please, to Luke 15. Probably it's the best known story in the New Testament. The man who had two sons, the younger one who was lost in sin, but repented and returned home to the father. And while everyone was joining in the celebration, the older brother comes in. He hears all the ruckus, and he hears about the celebration, and the party is going in. And he was livid, and he refused to enter into the house, let alone join in the celebration. He was angry, and he was determined to ruin the celebration. He was stubborn. And his stubbornness caused him loneliness of a very special kind. Only comes with stubbornness, that kind of loneliness. I often remind you that the point of the story, whenever I preach on this, is not about the younger son, the prodigal. It's not about the older brother. The story is all about the father. The whole thing is about the father. And we know that because in the Hebrew language, when you tell a story, whatever comes first, that is the focus, that is the key, that is the main actor in the story. The other two sons were really the supporting actors. And our Lord Jesus Christ started the story by saying, there was a father. He said there were two brothers or two sons and they have a father. No, no, there was a father. Not the younger brother and the older brother, but there was a father. Because that is the heart of the story, is the father. In many ways, Jesus was using the older brother as a mirror. He's holding that mirror in front of the Pharisees and that older brother, and he said, look in this mirror. This older brother, it's you. It's you. You Pharisees, self-righteous Pharisees, that's you. That is your self-righteous pride, which is keeping you from repenting of your sin and receiving forgiveness. In this story, our Lord is telling us and the world and to whoever may listen that basically there are two types of sin. Now, don't forget that we're all sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God, all of us. We have fallen short of the glory of God. But he says, basically telling us there are two types of sinners. There is a sin of rebellion, immorality, and running away from God. But then there is the sin of self-righteousness. Two types of sin. The younger son was guilty of the sin of the flesh. The older brother was guilty of the sin of the spirit. Listen to me, please. Everyone can see the sin of the flesh, right? I mean, they are glaring. Everybody sees them. Ah, but there are very few people who can see the sin of the spirit, especially in them. Why? Because those who are guilty of the sin of the spirit often hide in churches and often hide in their public persona. The older son's sins were hidden from view, but they were just as real as the younger brother's sins. It was hidden, of course, until it was uncovered. Uncovered that hidden sin. Until he revealed his self-righteous, angry, and unforgiving heart. Until he uncovered his bitterness and resentment. Listen carefully, please. Even though he physically stayed home and probably sang in the choir. But now he revealed that his heart has always been in the far country. And that sin of stubbornness and resentment caused severe loneliness. Anger, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness of either your family members or the family of God members can cause severe loneliness. And Jesus wants to heal that today. Stubbornness and refusal to give up grudges that you are carrying causes unique type of loneliness. Please hear me right. Of all of the problems that we face in life, of all of the problems we face, family problems are the worst. And the devil loves it. The devil loves it. Let me tell you a secret that I've learned through the years. Ingratitude. Can you say that word with me with my accent? Ingratitude. Look at the older boy again, verse 29. Luke 15, 29. All these years I've slaved for you, and you never gave me a goat. He's a big goat. Remember this. Remember this. In the Old Testament law, the older son in the family gets 2/3 of the estate. And God designed it that way because the older son is the one who's supposed to take care of the widowed mother and his siblings. And that's the way God established it in the Old Testament law. So think with me, okay? I want you to think with me. When the younger boy took his third from his father and he ran out and he wasted it, spent it, everything else in the estate belongs to the older brother. But in his deep, ungrateful attitude, he accused the father of not giving him even a goat. But it's yours. It's all yours. Oh, beloved, listen to me. Ingratitude often blinds us. Ingratitude often hardens our hearts. Ingratitude often causes us to be irrational. Ingratitude often leads us to all sorts of sins. And I've been on both sides of the ledger. And I never want to be in that spirit of ingratitude ever, 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 ever. For one thing, this older brother becomes so blinded as to the father's generosity all of these years. You know, in the old Middle East, the father would never, 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 never go out to talk to the son outside of the house. Always the son comes to the father and with reverence and respect. Twice in one day, twice the father humiliated himself. And he ran first to the younger brother. And then the same day by the evening, he was running out of the house for the older brother. I know some of you see the cross very clearly here in this story. When God the Son humbled himself, not considered his equality with the Father something to be grasped, grabbed for, but he laid it aside and he came and he humiliated himself and died on a cross. For both those who are alienated by the sin of the flesh and those who are blinded by the sin of the spirit, the Father humbled himself. Back to the older son. In his ingratitude and stubbornness, he does not only experience this unique form of loneliness. He stood there all alone, but he insulted his father. You got to understand the Semitic language to understand this. In verse 30, you know what he called his brother? He said, "This son of yours, this son of yours." That's the most insulting way of talking to his father. Oh, beloved, I'm begging you in Jesus' name, do not carry malice in your heart. Do not carry grudges in your spirit. Do not carry unresolved anger in your soul. Do not carry unforgiveness in your life. Listen, these things hurt your fellowship with your Heavenly Father. They hurt your fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Now, one of the very sad consequences of stubbornness is that it makes people bottle up everything inside of them. Bottle it, stuff it inside until either they explode or it destroys them. Our hearts become harder and harder until we cannot reach out and love to other people. But there's one thing I don't want you to miss here. This older brother had no problem talking to the servant, but not to his brother, and even his father, reluctantly. I have a hunch as to why this is the case. While he was outwardly religious, while he was outwardly compliant, while he was outwardly stayed home and didn't go to the far country, but he never truly experienced forgiveness. Never experienced forgiveness. You know, through the years, I have some dear friends and brothers who would say to me, "You have a sin of pride." I said, "You don't even know the half of it." Now that I'm older, I have more trouble with the sin of the spirit than the sin of the flesh. But when somebody asks me for forgiveness, I tell you, well, the first thing I think about, what a rascal I am, and yet my Heavenly Father forgave me. He forgave me. How can I withhold forgiveness from anybody? And it becomes very easy to forgive when you remember how much God forgave you. Jesus said there were two people who went into the temple to pray. One began to tell God how good has been to him. What a great guy he was, and all the things that he did. And the tax collector banged on his heart. He said, "Forgive me, a sinner." He couldn't even look up. And Jesus said, the confessing, repentant sinner went home justified, while the prideful, self-righteous sinner did not receive forgiveness. Let me ask you this as I close. Are you outside of the fellowship of the family of God? Standing outside? Why are you standing outside? Is it because of stubbornness of any kind? Is it because of refusal to submit to God in areas, some areas in your life? Only you can answer that between you and God. Confess first to the Lord and then to the person. And begin to enjoy the Father's feast that He has prepared for you and all of the repentant sinners.
This is Leading the Way, and an encouraging message from Pastor Dr. Michael Youssef from his series, The Cure to Loneliness, offering words of truth for times in life where you feel like you're completely alone. Hey, if your computer or your mobile device is constantly hitting you with notifications, mine is, you may appreciate a once-a-day email with the purpose of refocusing you on things of God and His Word. It's called My Devotional, an email from Dr. Youssef containing several Bible verses to consider, plus his wise pastoral thoughts to help you navigate through the challenges of 2025 and encourage you to dive deeper into God's Word. Get your free subscription to My Devotional started when you visit ltw.org. Now, if you prefer to consume your content by way of podcast, we've got you covered there too. You see, My Devotional is also available as a daily audio podcast. Like and subscribe to My Devotional wherever you consume your content, or learn more at ltw.org. Well, it's time for me to say goodbye for this episode. Remember, you're invited to join Dr. Michael Youssef right here next time when he finishes up his encouraging series called The Cure to Loneliness on Leading the Way Audio. And be sure to pray for Dr. Youssef as he delivers a message of hope and revival in Washington, D.C. this weekend at Awake D.C. Information and prayer points are available at awakeamerica.com. This program is furnished by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth.